Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, a personal guide to achieving your financial goals. In each episode, certified financial planner Dominique Henderson reveals insights to the underlying truths of how to be truly financially content by learning to put your money where your heart is. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can learn more about Dominique and his firm by visiting their website, www.djh-capital.com, or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the Maven himself, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And today we'll be discussing what is real or true financial contentment. So our last podcast series was Financial You, and we did that in four parts. And if you did not get a chance to listen to that, I would highly recommend listening to that because we discussed some foundational topics that would need to be in your psyche or in your mental frame for continuing this discussion today. And those four steps, real quickly, just for review, was first we had to realize we had to assess our problem and kind of see, you know, for the most part, the analogy I use was a scale that weighs you is a very good indicator, unbiased indicator of where you stand, weight-wise at least, to give you an indication of where you may want to go as far as gaining or losing weight. The next thing you needed to do is based on that assessment, since that assessment is just basically there to identify gaps between where you are and where you want to be, you would then have to address those gaps. And then after you address those gaps, which was just a reckoning or a owning of what you've done to get you to that spot, then you would have to adjust, make adjustments. Those are the behavioral adjustments. Those are things that may be painful. Like they say in the gym, no pain, no gain. And then from adjusting, after you do those adjustments, over time, you will see yourself achieve your ideal financial situation. So that was Financial You, parts 1 through 4. Like I said, go back and listen to that. I thought it would be apropos to cover what is real or true financial contentment right after that. So I'll try to get this in just one episode, but it may be two, and then we'll move on to some other things. And keep in mind, this is all on the vein of a manuscript I'm writing right now, and I'll give you more information on that as time goes on. But I will say, for listening to this podcast, you're going to have some really cool things that are going to happen in regards to the manuscript. Just stay involved and stay listening. So what is true or real financial contentment? I think this may seem a little illusory, but I think it's simple for the most part. So today, let's take a deep dive on this concept. And I'm going to use the whiteboard today. So for those of you that are listening on iTunes or some audio version, you're going to want to take a look at the YouTube version, that is the illustrations that we do, and that will probably help this be a little bit more salient for you. But I'm going to use a diagram that I use when I sit down with clients and start, you know, what I call the discovery meeting and making sure it's a good fit and what they want to do going forward with their goals and all that. So I think this diagram, though, is a good indication or a good representation of what true or real financial contentment is if we were to draw it out in a picture. So I'll say this also. On my website, www.djh-capital.com, I have a little animation that runs about 2 minutes that that does this probably way more succinctly. If you want the short version, then I'm about to go into a lot of detail right here, but you can look at that too. So if you go on the website and then you go to the schedule, the contact us and then schedule, you can see it there. Okay, so let's talk about, I think before I draw this, let's talk about some things that are noble and important to you, right? Things that are worth something, things that are worth fighting for. And if you start to think about that list, so let's say that, I'm just going to say, let's take myself, right? So something worth fighting for, something that's noble, something that's important to me, is helping people. Okay. So I want you to make your own list mentally. And this is going to be kind of the rubric for how we do this. So helping people, I'll put that up in the corner. That's what I like to do. That is a belief of mine that is very true and very strong in my moral cavity, if you will. And I'd also say that when you support that particular thing, it comes in the form of how you spend your time, how you spend your energy, and more importantly, how you spend your finances, right? Right. So you can always tell how strong this thing, in my case, helping people, is by how much time, energy, and finance I put behind it, right? And I'm going to say that also, since this is such a strong thing in my moral cavity, I like that term, I find great contentment and fulfillment when I do this thing, okay? So, like I said, mine is helping people, and particularly with financial literacy, right? I love to see people learn about how to better use their money, how it works, how to make it work for you, and how to not abuse it. So that's where you see a lot of my time, energy, and finances behind that effort. So when individuals take what they believe in and adopt this approach of putting what you believe in, and I'll go ahead and start to draw my diagram, what you believe in, and then your money, your finances. In this Venn diagram, you see beliefs on the left and money on the right. The more overlap you have between these two, okay, is the greater the level of financial contentment you have. And I'll just say overall fulfillment too, right? So you have to have beliefs and then your money, or we'll just call your finances, overlapping. And then what happens inevitably is this space of overlap becomes your level of contentment. And I would argue that the higher or the more overlap you have, the higher the level of contentment you have. Okay. So what I'm always doing, just as an aside in my practice, is helping clients really simply find overlap between those two ideals, because no matter the amount of zeros you have on your balance sheet, inevitably it becomes, of no consequence or pretty meaningless if you're not putting, like I like to say, your money where your heart is. So let's talk about the things that happen in our lives that maybe prevent this overlap from happening, or at least happening to the degree that we want it to happen, right? So some of the major things that I think, there's probably three things. So the first would be career choice. And we'll just briefly speak about that. So if your career choice is not fulfilling, if you're in a job that you don't like, around people that you don't like, and let me bifurcate that. Just because you're in a job that you don't like, around people you don't like, that doesn't mean that you're not necessarily good at what you do. You just may need to find another environment. So aside from that, if you just need to find another environment, then you need to do that. But if the environment doesn't really matter because you're not doing fulfilling work, I mean, it's just, you can't separate the fact that you just hate what you do from the environment or whatever else is going on, then you probably need another career choice. And that's an exercise, and we'll do another podcast on that, about kind of going through, you know, what motivates you and things like that to find where you need to be, you know, spending your time and your energy. And that's not to say it's going to be easy. I mean, you're going to have to get probably a new set of skills and meet new people and all this other kind of stuff. I'll say the second thing that kind of prevents people from creating that overlap, aside from career choice, would be bad decisions, and specifically bad financial decisions. And these tend to restrict your freedom. And I'm not immune to this. I've made bad financial decisions in the past. That's why I feel so obligated to help people with their finances now, because I can help them avoid bumps in the road that I've traveled through. So bad financial decisions will restrict your freedom because it restricts the level of resources that you have. I mean, you should just think money as a means to an end. Money's a resource that gives you options. Options, having options is by far, I heard Chris Rock say this during an interview, but having options by far is the best amount of wealth you can have. And money gives you options. So when you make bad financial decisions that restrict your options or your freedom, then it's also going to restrict your fulfillment and your financial contentment. And then the last thing I would say is bad company. There's a saying in the Bible that bad company corrupts good morals. So you have to move away from definitely be able to separate your mind and your mental faculty from what I would call divergent views with people that don't share financial resources with you, right? God forbid that you're in a partnership or in a marriage or something like that, a relationship where you have very, very divergent views. You definitely need to get that worked out if you're going to stay in a relationship with that person. But I'm more so talking about the company you keep. Friends that are, you know, that just don't have the same destination in mind as you do. You're going to have to break away from that because it's going to definitely detract from you finding more overlap between what you believe in and where you place your finances. So, or how you use your finances rather. So there could be any number of things. Those are probably the top three that I see most of the time. And so this is why the previous series of Financial You is a very important one to go through because you start to uncover some of these things. But I think, like I said, I think we probably need to do another podcast on what motivates you. So I recommend you go back and listen to the Financial You. It's four parts. It's not that long because you definitely have to sort some things out before you can be financially content and start to understand this rubric that I just put in front of you. So, beliefs overlapping with finances. This is what I believe is true or real financial contentment. So that's all for this episode of the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. I hope to see you back the next time. Have a great and prosperous day. Take care.